Bibles with us, if you will, this morning into John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Had several people asking me what has happened to my foot. I don't know. It's just been getting worse for about 2 or 3 months and sore and hurting, trying some different new shoes at work. And I guess with all the standing I've been doing lately and things, and then trying to get a pair of shoes, work boots that would work, and just say, I'm going to get through this and want to tough through it. I just made it worse, but it got so bad Friday that it was just throbbing. I went to the doctor yesterday and they said, stay off of it. Yeah. So we're trying. Amen. And if it don't get better, we're going to go see a podiatrist here. But it feels like it's getting better. Y'all pray for me, and I know it will be. Amen. And we just appreciate y'all being here this morning and are excited to be in God's house. Amen. And I tell you what, He's blessed us tremendously, and it's good just to see God's people come and have a desire to be fed from God's table. Amen. And, you know, you look around and you see folks and, you know, I like to get around and shake hands. And yeah, there's Eddie back there. He normally has to work on Sunday, makes it Sunday night, and you know, I didn't get to shake hands with him, and that bothers me. I'm looking around and I say, oh, man, I didn't get to shake hands with this, and you know, frustrating. And now I'm sitting down. Shake hands. My wife says, shake hands. Shake hands. Tanya, shake hands. Amen. Amen. But it is good to see each one of you this morning. I love you all. And just pray for me and just pray that God would just move in the service this morning. I do have a thank you card from Brother Michael Delafaz. And those that don't recall, he and another brother showed up the Sunday between New Year's and Christmas there. And they were just here visiting with some folks, and we're looking for a church to visit, and they just looked in, I guess, on the internet and found a Missionary Baptist church. And they said, well, that's where we need to go. Amen. And they came, but he says, Pastor Dennis, Miss Debbie, and the brethren of Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, thank you so much for your warm welcome and your hospitality. I was so blessed at the time that I was there. May you all continue on serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I really praise and thank the Lord for a wonderful service that we had, praying for more souls to be saved in this church, praying for all of you, love you all, Brother Michael Delafaz. And now if you really want to see something, you read his cards and look at his printing is immaculate. Amen. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful, but we'll put that on the back wall. I want to thank you all for being such a hospitable church, amen, and welcoming church. And that's one thing we do hear from folks who come out and are worshiping with us, that you folks are warm and friendly and inviting. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And I just, you know, you don't find that everywhere you go. And if you don't believe that, talk to some of these evangelists and some of these singers and some of the missionaries that go into churches, and they just don't receive a warm welcome. I don't understand why. God's people were commanded to be hospitable, and were commanded to be engaging to one another. So we're thankful for that. If you found John chapter number 8 this morning, would you stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word? And the Bible says in John chapter 8, begin reading in verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for its hope. We thank you for the freedom that we find in the word and in you. And God, we pray this morning that as we look to your word, you'd help us, God, each one to humble our hearts and our lives before you. that we'd be found faithful in doing what's pleasing unto you, that your will might be accomplished in all that we say and do this morning, and that we'd give honor and glory unto you. Help me, Lord, just to humble and submit my heart and my life before you even now. God, that your will might be accomplished in me this morning as I stand before your people. And Lord, help us each one, God, just to grasp your word and just apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we might use it to your glory in all things. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. Jesus is talking to one of the hardest groups of people that he dealt with when he was here in this world, and that was a religious crowd, a self-righteous crowd, a self-important crowd. He was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews as they were striving to find their own means and their own ways of salvation, to conclude their own truths and their own hopes and their own desires as they seen fit. As we study God's word, we can find how they had polluted and had changed the word of God. In some places, they had turned what God's word taught completely around and were teaching totally opposite of what God had said was the truth and was the right way to go and the right way to be in his word. And as he is teaching to them there, he's trying to help them come to the conclusion that if they will accept the truth and will believe the truth as the truth is even standing before them at that moment, that they could find help and they could find hope, they could find freedom in the truth. And Jesus said there in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And I want to preach to you this morning on that thought, free indeed. And I want to preach because we have a world that is caught up much like the Jews were, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all these who tried to find and who tried to manufacture and who tried to live in their own righteousness and in their own way. And they would not heed the truth. And God sent the prophets to preach the truth. God sent his men throughout history to proclaim truth. He sent Moses to speak truth. He sent Noah to speak truth. He sent Samuel to speak truth. He sent Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. But men refused to hear the truth and remained in bondage. The biggest problem people have getting themselves out of bondage is coming to the place of accepting the truth. And I don't know if this is going to work or not. Amen. But praise God, we'll do the best we can here. Try something else. The truth is what brought release. The truth is what brings freedom to those who will heed the truth and allow the truth of God's word to walk through their hearts and to walk through their lives, and to impact a change in them. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all this religious crowd has then answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, that's an outright lie. Anybody who knows the history of the Jewish nation knows that statement was a lie. And people today who don't think that they're in bondage and who don't think that they need the Lord in their life and are fooling themselves because of what somebody has taught them, what somebody has showed them, or what somebody has said to them outside of the Word of God, are trying to live a lie. You know why our churches have lost so much of the power that we hear the old timers talk about? The power of God in their churches is we're trying to live a lie. Amen. Amen. We're trying to live a lie in our spiritual lives and in our Christian lives, where we're trying to live a lie when we face the things that are transpiring in the world. You know, they say, well, we was never in bondage to any man. Before they went into Egypt, their father Jacob, who later became Israel, the one whom they got their name from, was in bondage to his uncle Laban. Amen. He made himself a slave. He made himself a servant. He was in bondage, and he was under contract, and he wasn't free to do what he wanted to do for 20 years. He was in bondage. And they say, well, he was never in bondage. Yes, he was. For 430 years, I believe it was, in Egypt, they were in bondage. And they say, we were never in bondage to any man. You read through the book of Judges, and you find out how many times that Israel was in bondage, and they was in servitude. They were paying tribute to some foreign king, some other in the land, some heathen king, the Hittites, the Canaanites, Philistines, or whatever the bunch might have been that was against them at that time. And they were under bondage. They were in fear. They weren't free to do what they wanted to do. They were in bondage. And they said, we were never in bondage. What we're saying today, when God walks our paths, and when God comes into our lives, and when God moves through our churches, and God speaks to the sinner, and God speaks to the Christian, is we're not in bondage. But so many times we're lying to satisfy ourselves and to make us feel better about ourselves. We're taught that we need to feel better about ourselves. If our kids are taught that there's no winners and no losers, they'll feel better about themselves. One of the biggest hoaxes that's ever been perpetuated on the young people of America. Amen? Because let me tell you, there are winners and losers all through life. I don't care if you're playing ball. I don't care if it's academic. I don't care what it is. Children need to know that there are winners and losers and aspire to be a winner. But we teach them it doesn't matter. It's unimportant. We want to cultivate their esteem. What esteem are you cultivating? That mediocrity is as much as you need to aspire to? When was the last time we heard in America somebody making some great scientific breakthrough or discovery? Like we did many years ago, when people came through with the breakthroughs for diseases, when they came through with these great breakthroughs for physics and science in other ways, when they came with these great breakthroughs, it was because men aspired to be more than mediocre. They aspired to go beyond. Why is it that our churches have become so lethargic, have become so sleepy, have become so quiet, that it just seems like the presence and the power of God isn't there any longer? Is it not for the same reason? We've been told, well, you can do whatever you want to. You can look like however you want to. You can act like however you want to. It doesn't matter to God. Amen? You know something I read in, how many are up to date on your Bible reading? How many are hanging in there? Come on. Now more of you can do it. More of you can do it. It's not too late. Amen? There's still sheets in the back. Read through the Bible. Get you one. Purpose in your heart. Make that determination. Promise yourself that you're going to do it. And read through the Word of God this year. Every time you read through, you'll see something that God has just brought to light for you so that you understand. You know, I've heard the myth so many times, well, it don't matter how we dress. God doesn't care. It's what's on the inside. Well, that's a lie. Amen? That's a lie that provokes mediocrity in our churches. Let me prove it to you from God's Word. Let me prove it to you from the church, not what you think. Amen? Not from what we're taught, but from what the Word of God says. And there's too many places where it makes a difference. Amen? God saves the other. God will save you in old rags. God will accept you in old rags if that's all that you have. Amen? That's not what we're saying. But God expects us, when we're His, to take a step up. And I've seen something in the story of Jacob. And then the account. Do you remember when he came back from Paddan Aram? And he dwelt in the land of Canaan. And he went and he dwelt at Shechem. How many remember that account? If you don't, let me tell you, he did. It happened. They went and they dwelt outside of the city of Shechem. Amen. It was named after Hamor's son, Shechem. Amen. Hamor was the king of Shechem. And Shechem was the son. Shechem fell in love with Dinah, Jacob's daughter. And he wanted her. And they had the wrong type of a relationship. Her brothers got married, fooled the men of Shechem into doing something that would weaken them. And when they weakened themselves after about the third day, when they were really weak and they couldn't fight, her brothers went in and they slew all the men of the city of Shechem. And they took all the women and children captives. And Jacob looked at his sons and said, "Look, you've done this horrible thing. And now you've made us to stink in the eyes of all the people of this world." And God told Jacob, he said, "Look," he says, "don't fear these people." He said, "I've put the fear of you in all their eyes." He says, "But I want you to go back to Bethel, the place where I first met with you, the place where I first talked with you as you were on your way to Paddan Aram the first time." And he said, "Let's go there." And Jacob told all his household and all the people that were with him. He says, "Now put away the gods that you have. We're going to Bethel." Bethel means the house of God. Back to he says, "We're going to Bethel." He says, "Put away the gods." You know what the problem in our lives, too many of us, we got too many gods. And we don't have one God. Amen. You know why we don't care about a whole lot of things? We got too many gods and we don't worship one God. Amen. He said, "Put away the gods." And he buried the gods there under an oak tree there in Shechem. And the next thing he told the people as they were preparing to go to Bethel, to go to the house of God. How many read it this week? "Change your clothes." Amen. Does God care? I think He does. Amen. When Moses was leading the people out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness and God was preparing to speak to the people, God told the people to sanctify yourselves and wash your clothes. We're going to hear from God. It makes a difference. Amen. I know that's a rabbit trail, but that's one of the things that's just an example of how we have made it. It does make a difference how God's people look. It does make a difference how God's people act. It does make a difference whether we sanctify ourselves and set aside ourselves apart from the world that we might be identified as God's peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto Him. It does matter, and truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. God doesn't expect you to do with what you don't have. Amen. But when you have the ability and you can, He expects it. You see, we've got so wrapped up in making excuses and choosing our own thoughts and choosing our own ways and choosing our own things that we have forgot about the truth of God's Word. We got just like the Pharisees. We've taken some parts of the Scripture, some parts of God's Word, and we've turned things completely around. Well, God don't care what you wear. He looks on the heart. Sure He does. But after he's dealt with the heart, he wants you to look like he's dealt with the heart. Amen? You can get mad at me if you want to. Amen? The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen? And Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We need to free ourselves of all this nonsense and all this false teaching. We need to free ourselves of our conceived ideas and our notions. And we need to get back to what the Word of God says. Jesus said, freedom and to be free indeed, to be set free according to God's Word and according to His Son is conditional. Man, am I making you mad this morning or what? I'm preaching truth. It is conditional. Look back in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, I don't care if you're a lost person and you believe this morning that Jesus is the very Son of God who died to save you from your sins. He's talking to you. I don't care if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian all your life. Praise God, you're 90 years old and you've been a Christian for the last 85 years. He's talking to you. And Jesus said to, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if conditional, you want freedom, you want to be set free, you want to be free indeed, it is conditional. Amen. If you got to make a choice, you got to make a decision, you got to decide what you're going to do. When Moses came back down off of Mount Sinai after he received the law, and Aaron and the people were sinning and worshiping the false idol, the line was drawn in the sand, and Moses said, ye who are on the Lord's side, come over here. There was a choice. There was an if. Amen. There was an if. When Joshua gave his last encouraging words to the children of Israel in the promised land, he said, serve whoever you want to. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There was a big if there. There was a choice to be made. Amen. Jesus said, if more than one time, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Deny your own truth. Amen. Deny your own theology. Deny your own desires. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus said, if you want to be free indeed, it's a choice that you got to make. He said, if ye... It's personal. It don't matter that you belong to a church. It don't matter that you do these things that the church does. It don't matter that you go where the church goes. It don't matter that you come out for youth group and you go to the youth rallies. It don't matter that you come out for men's group or ladies group. It don't matter that you get involved and you're working here and you're working there. It's a choice you have to make personally. You can go with the flow and you can go with the flock and you can go with the crowd and you can go to hell. Amen. If you haven't made the right choice to be set free, he said, if ye will, conditional, continue. I don't have a whole lot of faith in salvation testimonies of people who say they got saved at such and such a church and still live like hell. They got saved, but they still live like the world. They got saved, but they still act like the world. They got saved, but they have no time for the house of God. They have no time for God. He said, if ye will continue, that's dedication. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. Amen. I not only got set free, but I want to stay free. Amen. Hey, and I want to keep myself free from the bondage and from the things of this world that clutter and will hinder me in my walk. He said, if you continue in my word, if you're dedicated, if you do what my word says, I don't care what preacher so-and-so says, what says the word of God. I don't care what the commentator said, what does say it, the word of God. I don't care who taught you that it's not important to be in the house of God. His word says it's important to be here. I don't care what you think or what you feel or what you believe, but what says the word of God? Amen. That's what's going to make you free indeed. He said, if you continue in my word, continue in my word. Man, we got the word. We don't need nothing else. We got the word. We don't need Bible colleges. We got the word. Hey, man, we got the ultimate teacher right here. We got the ultimate book to study. Ultimate teacher teaches us the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to work. We've got all that we need. But we're still clinging to everything else. They had the truth, but they bastardized the truth. They had the truth, but they twisted it to suit their own theology, to suit their own desires. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Oh, Jesus said, well did Isaiah say of you. These people draw near to me with their mouth, with their lips. He said, but their heart is far from me. And he went on to tell them how they twist the word of God and how they turn the word of God and how they use the word of God to suit their own theology. And it was wrong. Folks, we're missing people. Folks, we're losing people because we're not standing on the truth. Amen. We're not standing on the truth, and we give people an escape. We tell people it's all right just to be mediocre Christians. It don't matter. We're telling people it don't matter that you go into the world and you show people that Jesus means so little to you, and your gods, your self-appointed gods, mean so much, and they're more important to you than God is. But praise His name. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And the truth is found in His Word. And freedom is conditional. There's people who got bitterness in their heart. And they stay bitter. They're like Christian people who are mad at one another. Christian people who go through life and won't surrender and submit themselves under the will of God. They will never be free. Amen. They'll never know freedom. They'll never know hope. They got people who have issues in their lives that they won't turn over to the Lord. And they won't turn them over to the Lord, and they try to battle these battles themselves. And they stay in bondage to the battle that they're fighting. David said, the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. Amen. I believe David would have still been in the valley trying to defeat the giant had he not turned the battle over to the Lord. Amen. People stay in bondage to their past, and they won't give it to the Lord, and they let the past rule. They let the past dictate. They let the past have power over them because they refuse to surrender their past unto the Lord. Amen. Folks, if you want to be free indeed, you got to take the truth of God's word and use it to unlock the chains that keep you bound. Freedom is conditional. Freedom is something that you make a choice in. Back in Leviticus, if he was a bondservant, if you was a slave, a servant, and you had fulfilled your servitude and your bondage, or maybe you had even been born into the house of your master, and you grew up and all you ever knew was being a slave. And one day the master come to you and told you you could go free. You could choose to stay in bondage. You could choose to stay a servant. You see, freedom is a choice. When the floods were coming, Noah preached that death and destruction were coming. But freedom and safety could be found inside the ark. The choice was theirs. But nobody would come. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Folks, this morning, to be free indeed is a choice. Christian people are sitting in God's house and they're hurting. Christian people are sitting in God's house and they're in bondage. They're in bondage to worry. They're in bondage to fear. They're in bondage to everything because they won't take God at his word and cast their cares upon him and find freedom. There's freedom in truth. Jesus said there in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth will make you free. Hey, man, when I found out who I was and I found out what I was and I believed the truth of God's word, then I found that I could be free. Amen? Because what I found out was I was a sinner that deserved to split hell wide open. But God so loved me that he sent his son to die for me. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And praise God, truth set me free. Amen. Truth set me free. There's many people who go to jail, many people who go to prison. And they go to prison and they pay for the crime they have committed, but they come out of prison and they're still in bondage because they have never admitted who they were. Amen? They have never confessed who they were. They have never accepted God's truth of who they are. They have never accepted what the law has said that they are. And they come out of prison. They have paid the debt to humanity, but they're still in bondage because they're still the same person that they went in to prison with. Many people get out of jail, they get out of prison, and some of them aren't on the street 24 hours, and they're back in jail because the jail didn't change them. The jail didn't make a difference. The jail didn't set them free. They were still in bondage to who they were because they didn't accept who they were and seek change and seek God to effect change in their life. But praise God, when the individual that goes to jail and is truly sorry for his sin, truly sorry for his crime, and he gets set free, he don't go back. There's a lot of great preachers, amen, who started out in prison. There's a lot of great preachers who found out just how much Jesus loved them in prison. There's a lot of great preachers who found truth would set them free, and truth would make them free. You see, when you served and paid your debt and they let you out of jail, and you can go back and you can commit the same old crimes again, you never was free. And you never really have been loose from what really had you in bondage. And you go back to doing the same old thing. But you see, that don't happen in God's plan. God said the wages of sin is death. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God says the penalty for our sins is an eternity in a place called hell. And that he would set us free. And he would loose us from the bondage of sin. But we want to go on through life. Or go on through the actions. I got caught in my sin. I got caught sinning. And Lord, forgive me again. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But why don't you get set free? Why don't you get set free? Why don't you really mean it? As many of you know, Brother Ray Stewart passed away just, I think it was last week. Great man of God. Loved him to death. He's a great man to talk to if you had questions, wanted somebody to talk to. He stood right here in this pulpit and told of a woman that was in his church. And she'd go out and get herself in a mess and mess her life up, and she'd come back, and she'd come to the altar, and she would repent, and he'd kneel down and pray with her, and she'd ask God's forgiveness, and God would work in her life. She'd get straightened out, and she'd be all right for a week or two, a month or two. But then she'd be right back into the same mess. You know what's wrong with her? She was still in bondage. She never got set free. Brother Ray said the last time she come, before she got right, he knelt down next to her. And as she was praying, he knelt down like he always did to pray with her. And he said, God, why don't you go ahead and take her home now? Because you know where she's going to be if she don't turn this over to you and don't get her heart right. You know what her history is. You know what her life is like. And you know where she'll be. Just take her home now. Once you forgive her and once you cleanse her, take her home now. And it finally struck home. It finally struck home. Friends, we got so many that are sitting here today that won't find freedom because you don't want to accept the truth. The truth will make you free. You can't do it on your own. The truth will set you free. God's not going to make you do it, but the truth will set you free. See, the truth of it is we don't really understand who God is, and we don't understand God's position. The Word of God will help you to understand it. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, how is it we can't walk close to God? Because we don't continue in the Word, and we don't continue in the Word, we don't know what's required. Amen? Man, we begin to read God's Word, and we begin to understand God. We began to see things from God's perspective instead of our own. We began to understand things from God's own truth instead of our own. We began to see God's holiness, His omnipotence. And we understand that God doesn't answer to us, but we answer to God. We treat God as though He is there just to meet our needs and to serve our desires. But that's not God. God is the creator of this world. He's the one that spoke a universe into existence. He's the one who made you who you are. And He's the one who you will give an account to of your life. One day you stand before Him. He's God. And He's never wrong. People say, I'm mad at God. Good for you. You better get over it. God's never wrong. God does not make mistakes. I like that thing somebody put on Facebook, God's not a fairy godmother that goes around granting wishes just because you pass something on or you forward this email or blah, blah, blah. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. We treat God like he is our little puppet to control. And I've said it before, we treat him like the trunk monkey. We're in trouble, we have a problem, we need him, we push the button. How many of y'all seen the trunk monkey commercials? Amen. Yeah, that's just the way we treat him. Treat him like a spare tire. He's God. Amen. He's God. He's holy. He's omnipotent. He knows all things. He sees all things. He's aware of all things. There's nothing that you got hid from him. He knows you as you are. He's God. Grasp that truth. It'll set you free. We understand why things are a sin. See, some people have a hard time coping with what is sin. I can wrap it up for you, sum it up very quickly. It's disobedience to God. It's living, acting, working contrary to what thus saith the Word of God. That's sin. Very simple. And you'll never understand sin if you don't understand God's Word. Don't read it and don't dwell in it and don't let it move your heart. You'll never understand sin and you'll never accept sin in your life until you see sin from God's point of view. Then you understand why he says the soul that sins will die. The wages of sin is death. Because it's rebellion against God. You'll never understand the true depths of God's love and nature, and I don't think we'll ever understand it in this world. But you'll never grasp the true depths of God's love for humanity and his desire. 1 Peter 3 and 9, God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. God hates sin. He hates rebellion. But he loves the sinner. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. We understand his plan. We comprehend what he wants to do. The truth will make you free. Let me tell you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, he loves you with a love like you will never experience anywhere else. He loves you with a love that can't be described by anything and can't be compared to anything in this world. He loves you so much that he gave the very best he had to die for you. He loves you so much, he don't want to see you go to that place called hell. And yes, hell is a real place. Yeah, yes, hell is taught of in the Bible. Yes, hell is something that Jesus spoke more of than he spoke more of heaven. That's the truth. And there's no way you're just going to go into hell and burn up. It's an eternal damnation. It's an eternal burning. It's an eternal suffering. It's an eternal torment. It never ends. It never ends. But God don't want you to go there. God never intended for you to be there. It was a place he created for Satan and his angels. He wants to save your soul. He wants to deliver you from the curse of sin. He wants to pluck you from the very pit of hell. And the truth is, all you have to do is make the choice to accept that and to trust him. And you'll find something for sure. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I wish we had the time for everybody in the service that knows Christ Jesus as their Savior to stand up and tell what they were and what God had brought them from and had delivered them from and had helped them find freedom from the addicts and the drunkards, the workaholics and the misers and the money grubbers that struck and put everything else before God. And when they found that the Lord Jesus loved them enough to die for them, that the Lord Jesus gave His life on an old rugged cross for them, and they accepted Him and invited Him into their heart, and they were set free indeed. But we keep ourselves bound. We keep ourselves bound when He wants to set us free. The Jews said, "Our heritage is enough. We be Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage." Liar, liar, liar. Your pants are on fire and your soul will be too one day if you don't turn yourself around. Amen. It don't matter who you are, where you came from, who your grandma, your grandpa, your papa, anybody else is. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and He hasn't set you free, you're going to split hell wide open. Some people say, "Well, I've done this and I've done that." Auschwitz is one of the most notorious of all of the Nazi death camps. It had perfected death. It had perfected suffering. It had perfected killing. And over the entrance to most all the concentration camps was this motto in one term or the other. But over the entrance to Auschwitz, it just sticks out in my mind of seeing that and realizing that they literally brought people into this death camp and they worked them to death. They just didn't run them in there, and some that they went right to the gas chambers, some went right to the ovens. But a vast majority were literally worked to death. But over the entrance to these horrible, horrible places was this German saying, "Albrecht, mach free." Work will make you free. None of those who entered through those gates destined, damned, and determined by the Nazis to be destroyed found freedom in the work that they did. You know what the devil will tell you? If you just go down to that church, and if you'll just do this, if you'll just sing Jackie, if you'll just lead the choir, Sister Tanya, if you'll just teach a Sunday school class, Sister Joanne, if you'll just work with kids, Sister Nancy, if you just go down there and you do these things, Brother Ronnie, if y'all just go knock on some doors and tell people about Jesus, if you'll just do these things, you'll be all right and you'll be okay. It's a lie. Nobody ever worked their way out of Auschwitz, and nobody ever worked their way into heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Folks, you can't do enough to get into heaven. The truth is, only Jesus can set you free. Jesus had the rich young ruler come to Him and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told him what the law commanded. He said, "All these have I done from my youth." Jesus said, "Good, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then you shall have eternal life." And the young man went away sad. He went away sad because he was a rich man and he couldn't turn loose of his riches. It don't matter how much you give to the church. It don't matter how much you have and how important you are. It's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said it's actually easier for, let me just read it for you. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How truly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Because they are grasping, they're holding on to something that can't save them. That can't deliver them. Folks, this morning, Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get us a song.